whatever the outcome of the referendum, it will emphasize and reinforce our earlier position that the referendum was a hasty and premature process, that the results, in whatever way it goes, will not advance our democracy or any of the issues that matter to us as a nation and people, and as such, it was unnecessary. Let's assume, as you have put it, that, for example, the first proposition requiring the reduction of the 10-year residency clause would be rejected. It simply means that the sitting president and several other candidates will be constitutionally barred from taking part in these elections. The results create a conflict situation of its own, because it's possible that the president will fight using whatever means possible, the courts or any other means, to ensure that she participates in these elections.
Let me ask you then, Counselor, as you said, it's possible the President, President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, will fight in case Proposition 1 does not pass. The President and other candidates might argue that they were forced to leave Liberia during the Civil War, and therefore they should not be penalized because of the referendum failing.
That's a choice of action the government chose, a wrong choice of action by going to the referendum. And I agree with you, those are valid exceptions, especially those who left the country not at their own volition. They were in exile, not self-imposed exile, but because conditions weren't ripe at home. Those are exceptions to residency requirement. You know, or that case could have been taken at the time to the Supreme Court for proper interpretation, and that would have been the best way, rather than taking the entire country down the path of referendum. Now that the people of Liberia would have spoken, it seems very odd that an ambitious president will seek an alternative, meaning that, and the issues that come about is that she doesn't respect the will of the people.
You are saying that if the president chooses to go to the Supreme Court at this time, it would suggest that she does not respect the will of the Liberian voters.
Definitely. There were a lot of Liberians, including stakeholders in the process, who said this referendum wasn't necessary. Now the people of Liberia have spoken, then you submit the opinion of the people of Liberia to a 5-man judicial branch, which would be undemocratic, which would be a gross disregard for the opinion, the verdict of the Liberian people. And if the president attempts to do that, it will clearly show that the court is being used to achieve a political aim. The next thing we think about what happens during the general elections itself.
Let me ask that question, because it seems that if the elections are to be held in October, it's about 42 days left before the elections. What happens?
This is one of the arguments we raised, that the time will be too short for Elections Commission to conduct a credible referendum and a credible electoral process all in the same year, all 1 or 2 months apart. What I see happening is a faulty electoral process, which will definitely lead to chaos and confusion.
Councillor Verdier, there are some people who are suggesting, or there's a talk about, maybe they can form an interim government. What do you make of that, if that is true now, the talk of an interim government?
Liberia has been placed at a crossroads once more, and these are very challenging times. Interim governments have proved to be very, very difficult. They were necessary to breach a warlike situation and usher Liberia into peaceful transition. And this is the kind of scenario we try to avoid by advising the government to proceed cautiously. What we need to do is an extension of the electoral timetable, a reconstitution of the Elections Commission, and a stakeholders conference to address all of these seemingly transitional issues, because there's no Elections Commission can conduct elections between now and within the 42 days period.